on 7 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned now for the Opera Box.
Support comes from Caddis Collaborative, architects who consider community, sustainability, and carbon neutrality at every phase of design and construction. More information at caddispc.com.
This program is supported by you, the KGNU listener member, and by Miller & Harrison, a law firm that provides assistance to people charged by the state with committing an offense and assistance to those injured by the fault of another. Located at Broadway and Mapleton in Boulder, more information can be found at millerandharrison.com or by calling 303-449-2830.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome in the Opera Box, the best seat in the house. I'm your host, Ron Nadel. Tonight, my playlist exposes the truth behind some ominous conspiracies. In opera, that is, where several characters plan or carry out dastardly schemes, such as the attempt to assassinate Emperor Titus from Mozart's Clemenza di Tito. And other subversive plots by Puccini, Verdi, and Wagner. Take your paranoia medication now and join me in tonight's Opera Box. Sesto is so in love with Vitellia, he's willing to murder Emperor Titus for her. But as he watches the Roman capital burst into flames, he and his co-conspirators begin to think it's a mistake. Later, Titus will pardon the conspirators. That's from Mozart's Clemenza di Tito. We heard the great Yvonne Minton in the trouser role as Sesto. Colin Davis conducted the orchestra of the Royal Opera, Covent Garden. It's about 5.5 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're in the Opera Box at KGNU with Ron Nadell, and I've got a playlist exposing operatic conspiracies. According to the dictionary, a conspiracy is a secret plan by a group to do something unlawful or harmful. Humiliation, fraud, lust, murder. Whether the plan is discovered, successful, or foiled, the outcome can be tragic or comic. I know opera has the reputation for outlandish plots, but perhaps they're no worse than many of today's conspiracy theories. In this next example, we catch the conspirators in the act of planning to assassinate the oppressive King Carlos. And so does the king. In Verdi's opera Ernani, King Carlos is seen as tyrannical. He usurped many of the lands of other noblemen. The bandit Ernani, a sort of Robin Hood, has agreed to help them overthrow Carlos. But Carlos has come to regret his own actions and knows he must be more benevolent. In this scene from Act 3, Ernani and the others are putting their plans into place when they're discovered by the king in the act of conspiring. At first, Carlos calls for their execution. Ernani then explains he's really Count Don Juan of Aragon, whose lands had also been taken. Carlos's intended queen, Elvira, speaks on their behalf, and the king pardons the conspirators. King Carlos, realizing he's been too dictatorial, pardons the nobleman who works conspiring to assassinate him. From Act 3 of Verdi's Ernani, we heard Placido Domingo as Ernani, Mirella Freni as Elvira, and Renata Brusson as King Carlos. And Riccardo Muti conducted the chorus and orchestra of La Scala Opera. Well, it's about 23 minutes after 7 o'clock, and you're in the Opera Box at KGNU with Ron Nadel, and I've got a program of operatic conspiracies. This next example is unique because the conspiracy is actually just part of a larger evil plot. You've heard me talk about Wagner's four-part opera series, The Nibelung's Ring. In part four, The Twilight of the Gods, Brunhilde has been betrayed by her lover, Siegfried. She does not know that he was drugged with a potion to make him forget. He then fell in love with Gutruna, sister of Gunther, who's head of the Gibichung clan. They do not know that Siegfried and Brunhilde were married. Gunther was tricked into asking Siegfried to find Brunhilde and bring her to him. But Gunther now suspects Siegfried betrayed his friendship because Brunhilde says she and Siegfried were in love, which Siegfried denies. All right, have you got all that? Well, in this scene from Act Two, Brunhilde is overcome with anguish and anger and disbelief. She's a Valkyrie warrior, don't forget. Hagen, Gunther's half-brother, says he will help her get revenge. She laughs, telling Hagen he'd be no match for Siegfried's power. So he suggests they plan a hunting trip where Siegfried will be killed, quote, in an accident. At first, Gunther isn't eager for revenge, but egged on by Hagen, the three of them conspire to murder Siegfried. We in the audience know this is all part of Hagen's bigger plan to get Siegfried's all-powerful ring.
Lügen Gestalt nur. Hey!
Out of order. As they plan Siegfried's death, the co-conspirators Brunhilde and Gunther are really pawns in Hagen's plan to acquire Siegfried's all-powerful ring. From the Gutterdammerung, The Twilight of the Gods, Part 4, the fourth opera of Richard Wagner's Ring Cycle, we heard the great bass Gottlob Frick as Hagen, baritone Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau as Gunther, and the great soprano Birgit Nilsson as Brunhilde, Georg Schulte conducted the Vienna Philharmonic. It's 20 minutes before 8 o'clock. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, here in the Opera Box with my playlist of operatic conspirators. Be sure to stick around because I'll be your host on a classic Monday after the Opera Box with a variety of music by Mahler and Durafle. That's at 8 o'clock right here at KGNU. And when I return, some conspiracies are hilarious.
Support comes from Sunshine Homeshare Colorado, a nonprofit that matches elders looking to remain in their homes with home seekers looking for affordable housing. Home sharing provides mutually beneficial effects for both the home provider and a home seeker. More at sunshinehomeshare.org.
Puccini's opera trilogy, Il Trittico, contains three one-act operas, two tragedies and one comedy. All three are about the gray area between punishment and reward. The third one of the group is the comedy, Gianni Schicchi. In long-ago Florence, rich old Buoso Donati has died with his relatives gathered round him to pay their respects. Actually, they've come out of self-interest to learn of their inheritances. They discover he gave everything to a monastery. The only person truly saddened is the young, distant cousin, Renuccio. He's poor and in love with Lauretta, Gianni Schicchi's daughter. She implores her father, the clever Gianni Schicchi, to help them. And in this scene, Schicchi, after reading the contents of the will, gets an idea. No one knows Donati is dead yet, so he tells the family to summon the notary. Gianni Schicchi will lay in bed dressed as Donati and imitate his voice from behind the bed curtains. He will then dictate a new will to the notary. The family bursts out with admiration on this ingenious plan and with their demands for their part of Donati's money. Things won't turn out exactly the way they expect them to.
E lei cuore la voce,
cade cuore,
a vittoria, vittoria, ma non capite,
no,
oh, che zuttoni, si corre dal notaio, messer notaio, presto. Via da Buoso Donati, c'è un gran peggioramento, vuol fare testamento, portate su con voi l'impergamene, presto messere se non è tardi. Ed il notaio viene, entra, la stanza è semioscura, dentro il letto intravede. Di Buoso la figura. In te sta la cappellina, al viso la pezzolina, fra cappellina e pezzolina, un naso che par quello di Buoso invece il mio, perché al posto di Buoso ci sono io lo Schicchi, con altra voce forma io falsi. In me, Buoso Donati, testando e dando al testamento norma, occente, questa matta pizzarria, che mi zampilla nella fantasia, e tale.
canti in porti mari.
A me i poderi di Fucecchio,
a me quelli di Filine,
a me quelli di Prato,
a noi le terre d'Empoli,
e quelli di Quintule, quelli
e quelli di Fucecchio.
Resterebbero ancora ancora questa casa, i mulini di Signa
sono le cose migliori.
Solo il più vecchio e sono stato modesta Fucecchio, volete darle a me, io vi ringrazio.
No, 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 un momento, se tu sei vecchio, peggio per te, peggio per te.
Sentro, sentro, il modesto, modesto, sentro, sentro, il
mio buon amore, la lavora tra i parenti.
Johnny Schicchi conspires with the family of rich old Buoso Donati to alter his will. The real fun comes when Schicchi dictates the new will. In that recording, we heard the great José Van Damme as Johnny Schicchi, and Antonio Pappano conducted the London Symphony Orchestra. Well, we're at about 11 minutes before 8 o'clock, and you're in the Opera Box with Ron Nadell and my show of conspiracies in opera. And I'm going to close the program with our last conspiracy, which is actually a triple conspiracy, as only Shakespeare could devise. Verdi's three-act opera Falstaff, composed when he was 80, it's a great comedy based on Shakespeare's The Merry Wives of Windsor. The rotund old Falstaff plotted to woo and gain monetary support of two wealthy women, Alice Ford and Meg Page. And so he sent them love letters, identical love letters, not knowing that they're close friends. Well, of course, they share the letters with each other and discover his lechery. And in this scene from Act 3, they conspire with their husbands to get their revenge on Falstaff. They'll invite him to what he thinks will be a midnight tryst in the woods. They'll all be dressed as supernatural creatures of the forest, and they'll ambush him. Well, after they've conspired and the women leave, Alice's husband then conspires with his friend, Dr. Caius. He wants his daughter Nanetta to marry the old doctor. And he plans to take advantage of everybody being in disguise to stage the wedding that night. Well, the wives have a plan of their own, unknown to the men, to similarly arranged for Ford's daughter to marry young Fenton, which is the man that their daughter truly loves instead. Three conspiracies in one from Verdi's Falstaff.
Rincasiamo l'appuntamento alla quercia di Erne.
E
Conspiracies within conspiracies. Wives Alice Ford and Meg Page conspire with their husbands to teach Falstaff a lesson, but the men conspire to have Nanetta Ford married to old Dr. Caius, while the women conspire to let Nanetta marry her true love Fenton. That's from Verdi's Falstaff. And we heard the great ensemble Rosalind Elias, Ilva Ligabue, Mirella Freni, Giulietta Simeonato, Robert Merrill, John Lanigan, and Alfredo Kraus, with Georg Schulte conducting the RCA Italian Opera Orchestra. Verdi only composed two comedies, his very first opera, King for a Day, which was a youthful opera, and his last opera, Falstaff. Well, I'm your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you all for joining me for tonight's Conspiracies. And we also want to thank all of our donor members who supported KGNU this past week during our membership drive. You are the you in KGNU. Stay tuned for Classic Monday.
If you listen closely to the sounds of your car, you can hear the sounds of love. There's purring and humming, revving and roaring, and sometimes even whining and screeching. But when KGNU hears that you've turned your car into a vehicle donation to help support the programs you love, it brings music to our ears. Call 1-844-KGNU-CAR or go to KGNU.org to donate your vehicle today. We accept cars, trucks, boats, and more. Donating is easy, the pickup is free, and your gift is tax deductible. And thank you.
Support comes from Dawson School, preparing students in grades K through 12 through challenging and relevant learning to become creative problem solvers who bring their best to the world. More information at DawsonSchool.org.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to A Classic Monday. I'm still your host, Ron Nadell. Tonight, I've got a banquet of classical music for a warm summer evening. such as Francisco Torrega's Jeux Interdits. And music of Mahler, Durufle, and Prokofiev. It's a perfect night to listen to music together. Join me now for a Classic Monday. Jeux Interdits, Forbidden Games. Music of the Spanish composer and guitarist Francisco Torrega, and we heard the great Pepe Romero in that recording. It's 2.5 minutes after 8 o'clock, and you're listening to A Classic Monday at KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, and I've got some musical memories for tonight. Well, Francisco Torrega lived from 1852 to 1909, which makes him a late Romantic composer. He's called the father of classical guitar, and in part because he revolutionized technique. In the mid-1800s, guitar was just seen as something used to accompany a singer, not sophisticated enough to be a solo instrument. Well, perhaps Torrega's most famous piece is Recuerdos de la Alhambra, Memories of Alhambra, commemorating his visit to the palace and fortress there. But it requires a special tremolo technique, and it sounds like two guitars. So each note of the melody is strummed by the ring, middle, and index fingers smoothly, and in such rapid succession, it creates an illusion of sustained notes while the thumb plays an arpeggiated accompaniment simultaneously. Many who have heard this piece but have not seen it performed mistake it for a duet.